We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is our attorney, barrister, and lawyer extraordinaire from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, this happened on Friday, and I immediately put something out on social media. The city of Minneapolis awards the George Floyd family $27 million, and my immediate response is they want this trial to absolutely go in favor of the prosecution. They want Derek Chauvin to be convicted because no jury member or no prospective jury member is going to let that pass without knowing about it. They are telling these jurors and prospective jurors, we are giving money because we think it's guilty. They don't want the city to be dismantled in riots, and I think that's a big part of it. But it is so wrong what they did in terms of fairness for a trial. And I'm not making a statement about I favor Derek Chauvin in any of this or I think he shouldn't be convicted. I'm just saying it's wrong to, as you use the expression off the air, tip the scales of justice.
They're their fingers on the scale. Their thumb on the scale. I mean, this is, you're exactly right. And your reaction, Bob, was my reaction. And it was the reaction, judging from the reactions on Twitter, it was a lot of people's reaction. Of hey, the timing of this is they're doing this to influence the jury pool or the jury, you know, the jurors that are even seated, the ones that are prospective, trying to, you know, skew this in favor of a conviction, and that's just not right. And I read somewhere it was a tweet on from a public defender who said, you know, she believed that the system was skewed against people of color and that Chauvin was a awful human being, but that doesn't give the state the right to deprive him of a fair trial. And that seems to be what they're trying to do right now. I am still not convinced, Bob, that this trial is going to be held in Hennepin County.
Well, I think this would certainly make the chances stronger that it's not. The other thing, would you anticipate the attorneys for Chauvin to file for a mistrial?
They can't really file for, they might, they're definitely getting set up nicely for an appeal if depending on what the verdict is. So it's not good. It makes me wonder, you know, all the discussion we had and all the acrimony we had in this country over the election, presidential election, if they can tip the scales to try to deprive somebody of fair trial, to get a result they want in a criminal trial, what's to stop them from doing other things? The left just stops at nothing. And then on top of that, I think that, you know, the $35 million that they're asking for from the state is another part of the kind of the psyops, right? We need $35 million for security in case the jury gets it wrong, is essentially what they're saying.
Oh, they're sending ridiculous messages. Jeff, this city council in Minneapolis, to me, is responsible for much of the unrest around the country because they were the first ones to say defund police, and then it caught on. They were the ones who really, yep, you know, turned on what would be considered law and order. They let things happen, yeah, in that city. And wasn't one of their council members the one who said, I think it was someone in Chicago too, but they're just buildings, you know, let them burn.
Yes.
I mean, how do these, yep, people, can you impeach city council members? Because they should be. But then again, they might have a city full of people who are like-minded. They're voters. I don't know.
That's the problem. This is what happens when you have a one-party rule. Is they think they can do whatever they want because the opposition is not going to ever. They're never going to get. There's never going to be an opposition party in Minneapolis.
No.
And so they just keep. There's the DFL and there's the Green Party. And I also mentioned, Bob, back to that the settlement. You know, the city, as I understand it, the city is paying this from its own funds. So why the hell do they need $35 million from the state for security if they had this kind of money laying around to pay settlement?
Well, because they had to pay the settlement. They had to tip the scales. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Now, right, Let's go to something on a lighter note. The bars and restaurants can open. Is it up to 75% capacity? And does that start this week?
It starts today. 75% capacity.
Okay, so that's what I thought.
That's a good sign. We've had two voluntary dial turns by the governor here in the last month and a half. We had the 11, you know, going up, bumping up from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m., and then back up from 150 to 250, and now 75% capacity. So I think we're coming to the end of the restrictions on bars and restaurants. I mean, the damage has already been done, but I know that, you know, we're sitting and we're kind of monitoring everything. And as vaccinations go up, as case numbers drop, we're fully prepared to go back into court if he doesn't, if the governor does not remove these restrictions. So I wouldn't be surprised if by May 1, the only restrictions that might be left in place is the social distancing.
Well, okay, and here's my question. The reason he's doing it, or the timing now, I happen to think it's a combination of Trump's gone, they got their guy in, and this guy, Walz, this is about the time of the year that they start gearing up for their next election. So I think he's trying to put a better face on it because he wants to get reelected. And by the way, I don't care who's running against him. Even if it was Jeff Johnson, I'm not voting for Walz. Because what he did during this, and also he was just like Cuomo, he put sick COVID patients in long-term facilities with our most vulnerable population. And he, to me, is responsible for the death of many of those people because we knew that they were our most vulnerable population.
That's right, and I think that's part of what he's doing now, Bob, is trying to focus on vaccination rates and reopening things to deflect attention. You know, you've got Cuomo being, you know, the subject of impeachment proceedings for a number of reasons in New York. You have Gavin Newsom in California. Now there's 2.1 million signatures for a recall petition. They need 1.5. And you've got there's a county prosecutor in Michigan contemplating prosecuting Gretchen Whitmer, who also did the nursing home bit. What? So Walz is kind of feeling the heat on this with this. He really has been untouched. And again, shame on the Minnesota Senate for not making a bigger deal of that and holding hearings on this with his health commissioner. But I think he's trying to deflect attention away from the fact that he did it too.
Well, I also think that in New York, Cuomo won't resign. He should be arrested because of what he did. He hid the vote total of people who died because he put sick COVID patients in the long-term facilities. And he also, people died. Well, that enough should be enough. Here, I don't believe that Walz hid anything, but people died. I hope that there's a county commissioner or a county attorney who sues him because you know it's not going to be his attorney general. That's not going to happen.
Right.
Keith Ellison is not going to sue the governor, but can a county attorney make that happen and make it stick? I sure hope so in Michigan, and I hope it would happen here.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll definitely find out. Now, one thing we found out is the rates for COVID have been the same whether you're locked down like they are in California or if you're open like they are in Florida. It really isn't that much different, right?
Right, which is what people were saying all last year. And they were considered to be COVID skeptics and anti-science and just, you know, insane and, you know, whatever. And we're finding out. And I noticed this, Bob, when we were getting ready for the lawsuit against the governor back in November, December, January, I saw some of these charts and I was seeing the same thing where Minnesota and South Dakota, their rates were ebbing and flowing at the same time. Iowa and Wisconsin as well. And now all of a sudden it's okay now apparently because Trump lost and Democrats control everything. It's okay for the media to come out and say, oh, by the way, so it's more this narrative of we're going to lose. It starts to look more and more like the lockdown part. I don't discount the concerns about the virus itself. Okay. But the way that the media treated it, the way that the government treated it with some of these states with the lockdowns, it starts to look more like it was an overreaction and possibly politically motivated.
Absolutely. It's just disgusting. One thing not disgusting, you're a big shot now. You're making comments and going and testifying in front of the state Senate.
That's right. Yeah, we had. So last year I worked with Representative Shane Mecklen in the House to put forth a bill that would allow business owners whose businesses were closed down due to an executive order of the governor in a peacetime emergency to bring an action against the state for an inverse condemnation, like a regulatory taking, like what happens when the government floods your property, right?
Yep.
And for the value lost, to be compensated for their loss. And it didn't get a hearing last year. This year, it was Shane reintroduced it in the House, and also Senator Andrew Matthews introduced it in the Senate. And so Senator Matthews sits on the Civil Law and Data Practices Committee in the Senate, and he contacted me last week and asked if I would testify. I said he wanted to bring it forward for a hearing, asked if I would testify, and I lined up a few other business owners to testify as well. And we had that hearing Tuesday evening via Zoom, and the bill passed on a 5-3 vote. All five Republicans voted yes, three Democrats voted no, and now it goes to a vote of on the floor of the full Senate. House is probably not going to take it up, but if it gets through the Senate, it becomes a bargaining chip with conference in the conference committee. So what it means is, and it becomes effect under the bill that's written now, it would take effect May 1st. Okay. So if it were somehow become acting into law, if there's still restrictions on businesses come May 1st, the governor has to get the state's checkbook out if it were to get passed.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't, but we're going to keep working on it.
All right. Well, great. Jeff, as always, greatly appreciated. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.